All right, we've got the next one. You what, honey?
I know. I look like I was raising my hand.
Okay. I
kind
of got one thought.
All right.
Go to Mark.
Mark? This story is found again in Matthew chapter 15. Come over here. And this one here helps you understand a little bit better, and you can put the two of them together. There's a little more detail in this one. Now, again, keep this in mind. When you get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're into books that, even though they're in the New Testament of your Bible, because your Bible divides the Old Testament and the New Testament, puts Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. But technically speaking, from a time orientation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still in the Old Testament. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the New Testament does come into effect to the death of the testator. That means that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, up to the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, is still under the Old Testament scenario. That's why you have to be careful taking something like this directly. You'll find churches that believe you can lose your salvation. They believe they lose their salvation because they get over in Matthew chapter 25 where it talks about 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, and 4 lost their, 5 lost their oil. So, you know, they say that oil is the Holy Spirit of God, therefore, you know, they lost their salvation. And of course, you can't put Matthew chapter 25 in the church because there's no church yet. It's still the Old Testament. We're dealing with the nation of Israel. So you got to remember that if you keep that in mind, remember that the stories you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they may illustrate some great spiritual truth and principle, but they're not going to be written directly to you. So you're going to have to read the story, then you're going to have to look for the New Testament principles that are found in the Pauline epistles that give you how it flows. This story here is one of the greatest stories in the Bible that show you, that help you understand your prayer life. Because this woman, in essence, is coming to the Lord with a prayer request. She gets turned down. She gets insulted. Gets to the place where her race gets brought into it, and finally she gets her prayer answered. Now, what do we learn by all that? Well, what we have here is a great study on prayer and why sometimes our prayers don't get answered when we want them to. So let's look at this, and let's take it apart here, and I think you'll come away tonight with a greater understanding of what's going on here. Okay. 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. And Canaan is part of the other Phoenician over there where they talked about. But Canaan gives you a little extra insight because this tells us she's a black woman. She's a Canaanite. Canaanites are black people in the Bible. Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, Am I not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And from his daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, that's the story. Now let me say something else. Anytime in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find a story that puts Christ out of character as you know him. Because that's out of character for Christ. I mean, Christ is the guy that, you know, raises dead people, and this is the one the Bible says he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you nor forsake ye. Cast all your care upon him before he careth for you. So far in this story, none of those verses are working. Because she's coming and he's saying no. In fact, he's being indifferent. That's not the Lord. I mean, it is the Lord, but that's out of character for him. My point is this. It is out of character for him. So anytime you find something like that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, start, mark it off. There's some great spiritual truth he's trying to draw your attention to. He's trying to show you something, for this is out of character of the Lord. All right, let's start with it. Let's go back. Behold, a woman of Canaan, a black woman, out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, the woman comes, first of all, with a petition. She has a prayer request. And I want you to notice the woman. She obviously has been studying her Old Testament. There is no New Testament. All she has is an Old Testament. But I know she's been studying it. She may be one of these people that was reached with the knowledge of God way back when the Queen of Sheba from Africa went to see Solomon. I don't know. There's some thread of trail down through here, but I'll tell you this. I know that when the Queen of Sheba went to see him and went back to her land, I know that the whole world during that time was worshiping God and knew about God. And I know that the whole world was aware of who God was. And I know that a lot of people in those nations worship God, and she just may be a remnant of that that was passed on down the line. Because when she comes, now keep in mind now, this is the first mention of her, he comes into the town, look what she knows about him. Look what she knows. First of all, she knows, O Lord. She called him Lord. Now look at that. Capital L, capital O. Capital L-O-R-D. She calls him Lord. She recognizes as the Lord. Then on top of that, she says, Thou son of David. She's got his lineage down. She's done her homework. This is not some out-of-the-way obscure woman just coming out of a doorway. She knows who he is. She knows who he is. She says, O Lord, thou son of David. She's been in the book. And it may well be that from where she's come from in Canaan down here, that whole thing may have just spread down through there through the hundreds of years. But she knows about him, and she's been reading her Old Testament, and she knows that he's the Lord. I'll tell you this much. She's got the scribes and the Pharisees beat. They didn't figure that out. But then see the common, ordinary person. And that's another great thing. That just goes to show you again. It's something you want to put in your mental note jog on your laptop brain someplace that, you know what, the more education you get, the harder it is for you to believe who God is. The scribes and the Pharisees never could figure out who he was. you know what, here's somebody with no education, here's somebody that seemingly is just a little common, ordinary person, and she has it figured out that he's the Lord and he is the son of David. Put it down in her credit. She's got something going for her. So first thing we need to know about her, she knows her Bible. Now I'm going to show you how well she knows her Bible in just a little bit. She, take it from me right now, she knows the Old Testament. And she is knows who he is, and she was looking for him. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." All right, her daughter's got a demon, devil. Vexed with the devil. Response number one. But he answered her not a word. Didn't say anything to her. Ignored her. Now there's times in your life that you're going to come to God and you're going to pray and you're going to ask God for something. And now this is a pretty serious thing. This isn't like, well, Lord, you know, what color refrigerator should I get? This is a tragic thing. Her daughter has a devil. From what we know about the other places in the Bible where people have got devils, it's a pretty terrifying experience. I mean, one guy is running around naked, cutting himself, jumping in the fire. I mean, it could be a pretty. I mean, her head's screwing around backwards, she's puking green puke out, and the whole nine yards. I mean, it's a mess. And you know what? He didn't say, "I'll take it into consideration." He doesn't even say, "Well, it's about time somebody recognized who I am around here. You are a good woman." He didn't say a thing. Ignores her. And there may be times when you go to God with something that you think is very pressing and very crucial, that God ignores you. Now, let's see what happens. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Oh, that verse there has a lot in it. I mean, that you got to read between the lines there, but that says so much. She didn't get anything from him. They're obviously walking down the road or doing their ministerially business, you know, and she's dragging along behind them as only a woman can, whining and crying and beseeching them one by one. She's going to wear these guys out to get to the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something about this woman. She's persistent. She's persistent. Most of God's people, after the first... when they go to God and they don't get the answer that they want when they're supposed to get it in a time frame they think, they get mad at God. Ever been there? They get upset with God. Not this woman. She said, "Well, if I can't get him, I'll start working on one of the 12. I'll get to him somehow." Down the line she goes, boy. Finally, the place where it's such a pain, they come to her and they say, "Hey, Lord, just do whatever she wants to do. She is bugging the snot out of us. I mean, she's everywhere. We can't eat. We were sitting over there eating, and I never done look around. She was trying to talk to me. And then I get away, and she was over there. I went into that porta potty over there. When I came out, she was outside the door and wanted me to get you talk to you then. Just give her what she wants, please. Just give her what she wants. Just give her what she wants." But he answered and said, "Am I not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel?" Now, that's a racial slur right there. She's a Gentile. And he says, "I'm not going to deal with her. She's a Gentile. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Now, it's totally out of character for the Lord. I mean, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth," where's all that stuff coming from? Now, that's the second time he rejects her. And he shuts her down again. Now, does she get mad? Does she go out and call the NAACP and get him on racial discrimination? That's what we do. I mean, imagine somebody coming into your church and you know, wanting to come down and ask you to do something. You can't say, "Well, I can't do it because you're a Chinese." Or whatever. Why, you'd be sued so fast you wouldn't know what hit you. Race is a big thing today. When you don't get what you want and you're a different race than the person, just claim race, man. She didn't. You know what she did? Look what she did. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered," now this is the third time that she's come now. Now she's worshipping him down there. I mean, she's on her knees. She came, first of all, saw son of David and got the whole thing right. He said not a word to her. She went to the disciples. He brought up her race issue. Now, instead of getting mad and doing all those things, she just comes and she worships and she says, "Lord." She goes back to again, "Lord, help me." And then, of all things, look what he says. But he answered and said, "Is not meet to take the children's bread," that's Israel, children of Israel. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." All right, he asked the question, did he call her a dog? He certainly did. Good point, guys. They wanted right in on this. I said, "Alf, we got your point." My dog downstairs, they're part of the Bible study. He barked right at the right point. That dog is spiritual. I caught him reading his Bible the other day down there. Now, I'm not going to get vulgar in this, but you all got an imagination. And don't fill in the blanks here, audibly and verbally, but let me just ask you a question. What is another word for a female dog? You all know, don't you? I mean, he's good as called her that. I'll tell you what. Pardon me? You're slow? Okay. Write it down for him, Mark. It's the B word. And I'll tell you, I mean, now he insults her by calling her racial gender, and he calls her a female dog. I mean, I can't even, I mean, I just, it's hard for me to believe that God would talk, the Lord would talk to anybody that way. Is he having a bad day or what? No, he's not having a bad day. He's trying to show us something. Now look at her response. This is the third time, and she shut down this time. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Wow. This lady's one biblical gal. She didn't say, "You're right, Lord." She said, "Truth, Lord." In other words, when she said, "Truth, Lord," she's saying, "Lord, that's in the Bible. That's true. I know you've come to Israel. I know. Truth, Lord. They're the children. And you brought the bread of life. And why should you cast it to this dog, Lord? Truth. 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 Truth, Lord." And then she nailed him. And notice this statement she says right here is what is the straw that breaks the camel's back. Did you ever notice that? When she says this, she gets it. So there's something about what she says here. And what she says is this. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So whatever she said changed his mind. You know what she did? She backed the Lord right up in a corner, and she, speaking reverently, she nailed his hide to the wall with the book. And the one thing about God, you always got to remember that God cannot violate his own principles. And when you claim the word of God, God has to come through sooner or later, one way or the other. And she backed him up, and she says, "Truth, Lord. I'm not arguing with anything you say. Everything you said is truth, and it's in the word of God. Oh, there's one other thing that's in the word of God, Lord. Don't the dogs eat from the master's table?" And the minute she said that, he turned. You know why? I know why. This woman knows the book. Turn with me back here to Proverbs chapter 12. This is what she did. This woman knows the Word of God. She knows it so well from studying her Old Testament that she knew he was the Son of David. She knew he was Lord. She knew how to worship him. And she knew that she could stay persistent, that she would get what she asked for in time. And when he walked her down that road to see where she was, she just set a trap for him and he walked. She did what the scribes and Pharisees couldn't do. She entangled him in his talk. Because when he said what he said, she came back with that statement, he had nowhere to go. He either had to do it or he had to hang up his God name tag and go back to heaven. Because she nailed him with the Bible. Here's what she did. I'll read it again. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. She said, "Truth, Lord, I am a dog, but I'm your dog, and a righteous man has to take care of his beast. So take care of me." And the Lord said, "Great is thy faith." And she got him. Now that's a great study on prayer. It shows you four things why your prayers aren't answered. Sometimes you're not answered right off the bat because God wants to see if you're really earnest. So he didn't even answer there the first time. That tells me that sometimes you pray about something that's big in your life, he may not answer you. He may not answer you. So sometimes you're turned down to see if you're really earnest. Sometimes, second thing, you're turned down to show us how helpless we really are on our own. Boy, if that isn't evident as you go through there, God was showing her how helpless she really was. And you go through that and you see she's desperate. She doesn't have anything. If he doesn't come through, her daughter isn't going to get healed. She's desperate. Third thing, sometimes we're turned down till we get the selfish attitude out of our prayers. If you look down here at verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." He's saying there, "Help my daughter." Look at verse 25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." See? It's changed. It came more personal. Before it was for her daughter. Now it's for her. See, sometimes you think that the issue is something else when it's really your own personal issue you got to deal with. Somewhere in the process, she saw that. Somewhere in the process, it switched from, "Lord, help my daughter," to, "Lord, help me." You know what I think maybe that "help me" was all about? I think at that point it may have been, "Lord, help me deal with this, that if you don't answer this, that you help me accept where it's at." She was willing to take whatever God wanted to take. She's quite an incredible woman. Then lastly, sometimes a refusal is not always a permanent thing. Well, that's not lastly, there's five things. Sometimes a refusal is not always a permanent thing. Sometimes God just wants to see if you'll stay with it. Sometimes God wants to see how really faithful you are in staying with Him and claiming the promises. And that's what you got to do. A prayer is a matter of you knowing the promises of God, knowing what you can pray for and what you can't pray for. And then when you get in a line like this is the proper deal here, you just stay with it. And if God doesn't answer it, you keep claiming the promises and hold God's feet to the fire because God's got to do something. But it just may not be in the timing you think it ought to be. Then the last thing, continued prayer strengthens our faith. I promise you, she'd come out of this a lot stronger than she went into it. We always do. I mean, it's only four or five verses here, but there's a lot in here. And there's a lot of emotion, a lot of turmoil that mother was going through for her daughter. Nothing worse than a mother having a daughter that's not, that's in this case, in a bad shape and wanting, and there is the one that can do it. And yet he seemingly won't do it. It comes down to this. The trials in your life will either make you or break you. They'll either drive you to God or they'll drive you from God. In this case, this woman was driven to God. Why? Because she had a strong foundation in the Word of God. Somebody doesn't have a strong foundation in the Word of God, something like this would have happened to them, they'd have been out the door. They'd have been a Nazarene. They'd have been gone, man. They'd have been a Buddha. They just would have left it. But you see, it was the foundation that she had. God had something to work with. And he knew that. This isn't a thing. There's so much behind this here. This isn't a thing where God just said, "Oh, here comes a lady, da-da-da-da-da, and, I'm just going to..." No, God knew exactly where she was coming from, who she was. He knew everything about her. He knew exactly what her needs were. He knew exactly where her strength was, and he walked her through this whole thing, this whole scenario, bringing her to the place where he wanted to teach her something. Or in this case, a number of things. At the same time, he had put this story in the Bible to teach us something. Because he knew somebody had asked a question about, boy, this is really weird. Did he call her a dog? Yes, he did. And when you go through and see the whole reason why, you come away from an understanding this is one of the greatest studies on prayer anywhere in your Bible. And even though it wasn't written to you directly, it's written for you and for your admonition, because you come through it and you look at it and you see it and you see this scenario and you put your own self into it and you see all the things there. This woman was quite an incredible lady. She knew the Bible. And she knew how to get her prayer answered, and she knew how to stay with the stuff, and she knew the verses. And when he said that thing about dogs, her mind went right to the book of Proverbs. And when she said that, he says, I know exactly where you're going. You're right. Great is thy faith. Bang, your daughter's healed. God cannot violate his own scriptures. That's why it is so important to know the Word of God and know the principles, because that's the only way God's going to operate. Everything else is just spiritual fluff. So that's why, Chris.
Thank you. That was excellent.
Anybody want to add anything to that or ask something about that? Or let me take it from another angle, or want to add anything to it? Well, there's some good questions tonight, man. I'll tell you what.
Did he pick that woman? Why did he pick her over anybody else?
I didn't hear what you said.
Why did he pick this woman over anybody else to teach a lesson to?
Well, I'm not sure that... come over to John. Let me show you the answer to your question. We want the end of the Gospel of John here. This has always been one of the greatest verses for me in the Bible. It's the last verse in John. John chapter 21. This, to me, is one of the greatest telling verses in all the Bible. And I didn't see this till I was really probably 8 or 9 years ago. For many, many, many years, I probably read it 1,000 times, never paid attention. One day, God just popped it out. And it's John chapter 21, 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That tells me that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the stories in there are just the tip of the iceberg of the events that happened. There's probably many other women, probably many other stories. But Jesus picked these. And he picked these because, in his own mind, these are what he wanted us to have. Now, that's a great verse because it goes a little bit farther than that. It also means this. It means that everything in your Bible was handpicked by God, because many other things that he said and did or did, that if they were written down, the world itself wouldn't contain it. So out of all of those things, he chose, Holy Spirit of God chose these to put them in and put them into a book for you and me to have. And I'm sure there was a lot of other events that took place, but he handpicked what he wanted us to have for us to learn. And that's the best answer I can give you on that one. Why her? Well, she had a lesson for us to learn, but there probably was a bunch of other people that maybe went through the same thing. But he chose this one. Which means that you better pay attention to every story that's in there, because it's hand-picked by the Lord for you and for me. So he has something for you in it. Once I got that verse and saw that verse, instead of the verse, I could never just read the Bible haphazardly again. Everything from that point on had a purpose to it, because God, I realized then that God had chosen it out of a bunch of other things that he must have done. For instance, we've got 39, how many books in the New Testament? 28? Huh? 27? 27 books in the New Testament. Now, were there more books written? Did Paul write to other churches? Sure he did. I mean, were there other things that Paul wrote? Sure. Other things that Peter wrote? Probably. But God picked these things to put in there. And it's one of those things where when you realize that, you realize that God, he handpicked what he wanted us to have in that Bible. And then to put it together with the majesty and the artwork that he did, wow. What an incredible thing. What an incredible thing.
Right. And then also, I mean, pretty likely that the lesson probably wasn't really for her. I mean, from the looks of it, when you go down through there, it doesn't look like she was the one that really needed the lesson, because she, you know, she kept coming back. She knew the Bible. She knew that she needed to be persistent in all of those things, and the lesson was probably for his disciples, and that's why he, you know, he knew that he could do that in that situation with her, you know, being all-knowing, and knew that, you know, they probably needed to see it, and we obviously needed to see it, too.
And that's true. You're absolutely right. But I never know of anything that God doesn't do that we don't benefit from, that she would have benefited from it too.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And here's that thing. God says he never tempts a man above where he is able. And the Lord knew where she was, and he knew what he could get away with. And you're right, Danny. He's using this as an example, and he's pushing her to the limit because, like Job, like Abraham, he knows what he can get away with. And he knows that she'll learn some things from it. I'm sure the disciples learn some things from it. And we obviously learn some things from it. So it's one of those situations where God knew that he could push her to the limit and she would respond, just like, you know, he could Abraham. So you're right. It's a threefold thing there.
Bob, can you also say that as far as in a New Testament picture, saying that we don't know what we should pray as we ought?
Yeah, absolutely. Romans chapter 8. Yep. She's coming to the Lord with a specific need that she thinks is really the need. And sometimes God has to put you through the washing machine to get that need really worked out, that you see what the issue really is. And you see that from the one place she's saying, Lord, my daughter, then the next place she's saying, Lord, help me. It become a personal thing with her. And, you know, it's always interesting that it says in there that, in that same verse, that it says she worshipped him, and then she said, help me. You know, maybe she had something to learn about her worship. I don't know. There's something in here that God had for her to learn that she picked up, that you got to kind of read it here and you can suppose about it without ever being sure. But I am sure of this. I'm sure there's something that was lacking in her life that God gave her through this. Whether it's the aspect of worship, whether it's the aspect that she had a selfish motive with her daughter. I don't know. But I know that there was. Because that's the way God does it. So
that goes along with Abraham and Lot, like you were preaching the other day, wasn't it? I mean, where he was praying to,
yeah,
to, you know, to save Lot.
Yeah. Yeah, his prayer was Lord, you know, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Sure. But his desire of his heart was save Lot. And there's a case where God didn't answer his prayer. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but again, the desire of his heart, he saved Lot.
Right.